Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Investor Comps Invest Anywhere from Anywhere. This is that space where we welcome wonderful guests to come in and really share their experience being virtual investors, as well as other specialists and those that are in the real estate space. At Investor Comps, you know, our absolute goal is always to make sure that you have that valuation first approach to make sure that you have the best acquisition value and after repair value, so you can exit out of a piece of real estate knowing that you're going to make a profit literally when you went into the deal or when you bought that deal. I want to welcome Ann and Tim Miller to the podcast today. How are you two doing? And thank you so very much for being here.
We're wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Good stuff. How does it feel to be brand new grandparents?
It is great. We don't think we're old enough, but we are. And we, you know, with modern technology, we FaceTime almost every day. So we get to see our grandson, Brooks, almost daily. We don't get to hug him, but we get to at least see him.
I know. So it's kind of like the what is it? Dick Tracy watches and video phone.
Right. You know,
what we talked about years ago now is here. And it's wonderful, too.
Right.
There you go. Hey, I wanted to just kind of delve in a little bit. We've been engaged in doing real estate for a good little bit now, but I wasn't around necessarily. We're going to, kind of peel the onion back on this in terms of how you chose or even came to real estate as a way to deploy capital for passive income, stuff like that. Share with everybody a little bit about your background and then why real estate?
I guess I'll take the lead on that one because I got us into all of this, I think. I'm a dentist, general dentist, practice by myself. We've been in the practice 20 years. I say we. Tim has been my office manager the whole time. So it's great for a husband and wife. It works for us. Some people it doesn't work for. And he's always managed the business aspect of the practice and our family. Really involved with more of the stock market. That was kind of his passion, I guess. Yeah. Hobby.
Yep.
Our youngest one, I think her first words were booyah from watching Jim Cramer on
Mad Money.
She didn't know. She just knew that booyah was, you know, him. But so anyway, long story, we were doing well in the stock market, but just always looking for diversification. And I was at a dinner meeting with another dentist, and he was telling me how he was involved in real estate. And I think, you know, you have to own a building and or a house and be to have tenants. And he started explaining to me that, no, it's not that way, and how you make passive income and explaining how you try to get free, that passive income meets your daily and your needs, and then you don't have to work as hard. So I came home from the dinner and I said, Tim, we need to do this. And he said, I'm not a landlord. I don't know how to fix things. He's great with numbers, but no, we're not doing that.
Right.
And we ended up joining a group or going to find out about a group that did investing and alternative real estate investing. And the airplane ride down, Tim's like, we're not signing anything. We're not joining anything. I kept saying, yes, I hear you. Well, by the end of the weekend, Tim was saying, where can we sign up? I want to learn more. So he quickly converted. And, you know, we spent probably at least 6 months before we actually invested in anything. Learning about it. We took it as this was our master's degree. You know, we're going to figure out how to do this, educate ourselves, and learn, you know, to do it properly. So, and it was through that we met you and we started investing with you, and we took our time. We feel like we're pretty diversified. We are not landlords. We don't want to be the landlords. We don't want to do what they say, but tenants, toilets, and termites, you know, so it's more passive for us, but, it's passive, but we still have to keep an eye on everything. We're still watching monthly numbers.
There you go. As you were getting that training and you leaned and found that you wanted to lean towards being the bank, to being a lender, what would you share were the elements that made being the bank, being a lender, the side that you wanted to be on as compared to, you know, managing or engaging any types of fix or flip, whatever it can be? What are the things that you learned and discovered that really guided you the one direction that you chose?
I think from that standpoint, as Ann said, you know, I'm not handy. I'm not the handyman who does a lot of that stuff. And I know finances, I know numbers and that kind of thing. And it just seemed and like a more natural fit also to work with someone, a sponsor like you, who has the experience. That was what we didn't have, was the experience and and how it works. And
we also could go anywhere across the nation and be at home, but being able to be in different cities or different markets where if we were going to try to do fix and flips, we'd need to be here in our own town where we could manage stuff better.
So it gets maybe a measure of diversification of where you could deploy.
Exactly. Correct.
Yeah. When you think about making the decision, okay, now we want to be the bank, using that type of phrasing. There's a couple of different ways to do that. One is with cash, and the other is obviously with some type of custodial money that is qualified, that's being held by a custodian and growing tax-free, stuff like that. Share your decisions in just in general terms, how you may determine about when you would deploy cash versus when you deploy your custodial or qualified funds that are maybe in a self-directed IRA.
I think we have two paths. We're in our early 50s. So we are on two pathways. One is our qualified funds and making sure we switched everything over a few years ago and do it all ourselves. So we kind of have a qualified fund lane that we're in, and then we have a cash lane also. And it depends on the deal and what, if it has, what's the term?
UBIT.
If it has UBIT, whether it goes in our, it doesn't go into our qualified funds, it might be a cash basis.
I really don't like having a lot of funds just sitting in those qualified accounts. So if we are able to deploy those, and we do just to keep them rolling. That's,
you know, the fun part about guiding and working with folks like yourself is the capacity that we do have, the expertise through Investor Comps to, you know, analyze the market areas, see the comparable data, know what the exit strategy would be based on the after repair value, the ARV, things of that nature. And you look at that data. Let's circle back just for a moment when we talk about qualified funds in UBIT. Take a moment for the listeners. Let's define UBIT and then how you utilize and employ your decision-making process.
So UBIT has to do with, it means basically if you're using leverage within a deal, I can't remember the exact wording of it, but it's a tax that you get for gaining money or earning money passively within your qualified funds, I guess is the way I understand it. And so if you are using your qualified funds, especially a 401k, self-directed 401k, you have to keep an eye. It isn't that you can't use or go with deals that do include UBIT, but you just have to be aware and realize that you will be paying taxes on that and when it occurs.
Exactly. Good. Well done, Tim. Well done.
I'm like, I don't know.
Well done. Well, here's the thing too. When you think about going back, what was your first virtual investing deal? If you can go back that far.
I think it was a hard, it was a fund, Carolina Capital.
Yeah.
I think it was a fund that did real estate in Carolinas. But I think you were about the second one we did. You were up at the top there.
And the way we looked at it was we really wanted to know the people with whom we were investing and not just know the name or hear, oh, he's a good guy, she's a nice lady, whatever. We wanted to know the person, have a meal with them, get to know the and their family, et cetera.
It's not just about the deal. It's about the integrity and us figuring out if the integrity of the person is a relationship we want to be a part of. Yeah, so that's why I was going to say we took about 6 months to get to know some of these people and decide if that fit with what we wanted and did the person. And there's been, even just recently, there was a deal we were both really interested in. We had dinner with the people and afterwards my gut was like, Tim, I'm not happy with this. So we didn't do the deal. Probably a great deal, but it just, something didn't feel right to me. And so we backed out and didn't do the deal.
There you go. I mean, it's important for everyone listening. You have to be true to yourself. Mm-hmm. And this idea that Tim and Anna sharing, you know, folks that you know, like, and trust. And so all of those go into it. You want to get to know them. You want to have a good, you want to have a sense that yes, you can trust. And then you want to know that you like them too, that type of thing. When it comes into it, even if it is a referral, you still want to be able to engage in that way. I really like what you shared in terms of the choices, in terms of how you deployed your capital originally. Being in the fund wasn't something necessary where you were secured by any one particular asset, but your money's pooled together, but it's deployed in doing real estate transactions, funding other investors that are doing fix and flips is where you put your money in the fund. And then a deal that is basically just a one-off deal where your capital is just tied to one asset and that's it. Those were two good places to build and deploy in your capital stack. But let's move a little bit forward. We know, even when you're being the bank or maybe you're doing some wealth building assets that you own, but yet you're allowing someone else to do the property management and so forth so that it remains passive. I teach and I share with folks two things. One is that you never get emotionally attached to a deal. just because it's the first deal or you got to do your next deal, still do the due diligence and analysis like that. The other thing we teach is that real estate is not for the faint of heart. We always want to be in a situation where we want to gird ourselves and be prepared. Should things slide, adjust, and become different with any part of our portfolio. Share a little bit about what your experience has been either historically or even more recently when you think about girding yourself for just shifts and adjustments with assets that you've either deployed capital in or where maybe it's a wealth building or intend to be a wealth building long-term hold asset. I think we always talk about the good, but we want to really kind of let folks know that it ain't always roses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can do all the due diligence you want and you can have as many meals with people as you want. Things happen sometimes, whether it's somebody who is knowingly
deceiving
or things just happen. And the same thing happens in the stock market. You don't fall in love with a stock. And sometimes something happens within a specific portion of the market, a sector or whatnot that you don't expect, and your stock will go down just like an investment in real estate. So it's,
I think we also try to stay fairly diversified.
Yeah.
We don't have, I think we did a recent look at it and we don't have any more than 10% of our portfolio in one asset. And so And we always go into it saying, okay, if we put so much money, are we willing to lose this money? You know, if something goes south, are we okay if we lose this money? Or we don't get all our money back, you know, maybe we just get the return on capital, but it's been somewhere for 3 years and we didn't earn anything. So I think that's another thing is we safeguard ourselves of, not putting all our eggs in one basket and making sure that we're okay. Can we stomach it?
Right.
That is an excellent way. And you're taking my teaching right out of my mouth here, Anne. I mean, because what taking a valuation first approach really does get into the fact that, yes, we use the phrasing. We want to know that we're analyzing so that we make a profit as we're deploying the capital. That equity position is there. But rephrasing, excuse me if I manspeak, you've got that core capital you've deployed so that even if the value contracts, okay, it's always great if it expands, but the value contracts, you're in a position where at least I can get the principal back because it is a hard asset that I've got control over or that has to be liquidated because I'm the lender on that deal. I mean, I can bring back that capital. That's going to be one of the core things that you always look at. There is so much that we could peel back in terms of how you've carefully, strategically looked at. I love the fact that you've got it broken up in your capital stack, these 10% different components that you have out there. But here's one thing before I get into our rapid fire session. In the engagement that we've had together, you've been gracious enough to extend referrals for other people, even family. Talk about just the process of what that was like based on your experience with the asset that you were in and extending that invitation, because we realize that, word of mouth and relationships are so much of what we do in terms of having good success, but also helping others have good success as well.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's all about relationships. We do that every day in the dental office. It's not so much how you're going to fix their teeth, but it's not a cookie cutter approach with every patient. You know, everybody has and different needs and different and financial concerns. So I hear Anne every day say, if you were my mother or if you were my sister, this is what I would do. And she's completely honest. And that is one thing that we see flowing out of you every day is your honesty and your willingness to make it right. You know, as we said, things happen sometimes through no fault of anybody, but if you're willing to make it right, or we understand that it's not going to work every time, that's great. Mm-hmm. But our relationships are of utmost importance to us. And we want to share with our friends and family that, you know, this is a fantastic person who just happens to be a great deal sponsor and find the deals.
And your deals are there. Your staff is very accessible, or you are very accessible too. You reach out, you respond, which is nice because we have some that take their time. And we're having to keep asking them for the same things. It's a joy to work with you. You're easy to work with. So it's easy to refer our friends and our family. Our kids are all invested with you. And so it's been fun for us to teach them.
Absolutely.
At first Tim was doing it for them. And now our daughter is married and has a child and she's having to make those decisions herself. And so it's nice to see that next generation go on, and we're glad that we can do that with you.
Yeah. That maturation in our offspring is just absolutely phenomenal when they engage. Based on the teaching that you provide. I mean, they get to make all the final decisions, no doubt. But when they're following that lead for their own good success, it's really cool. Now, all we got to do is get the account open for the grandbaby and start doing some wraps.
There we go. Get it 529 going, right?
Yeah. You can do an ESA. You can do a self-directed ESA and put in there, and then that way you can start deploying that. The beautiful part is when it grows those small balance accounts and you start arbitraging what's right in that account. That is just a beautiful thing. We're very fortunate to do that with our.
We'll have to have another call with you on that one.
Do it with our grandsons inherited Roth IRA. So that's, we definitely can do another conversation. That would be an absolute joy. You ready for rapid fire?
All right. Sure. Bring it on.
All right, here we go. First one, surf or snow?
I'm sorry?
What or snow?
Surf or snow?
Oh, snow.
Snow.
No. Okay. Cake or ice cream?
I say cake.
I say ice cream.
All right. I guess we'll just take both answers. All right. Favorite vacation location. Favorite vacation location.
I don't know if we have a favorite. We move. We go all around different places. I don't like to go to the same place every time.
You got to choose.
I would say probably Jamaica.
Jamaica. Yep.
Even though it's okay. Surf, I like Jamaica.
Well, there you go. All right. Cook or dine out?
Dine out.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then if you'd be so kind, and maybe one from both of you, a quote or a piece of sage wisdom that you rely on a regular basis.
Probably the Maya Angelou. Yeah. The Maya Angelou.
Yeah, I think it's both. And for us, and it's what we use at the office every day, is people may not remember what you did or what you said, but they remember how you made them feel. Yeah. And that is paramount to life in general.
And that's Maya Angelou that did that quote.
That is awesome. Perfect. I love it. Everybody, I can't thank you. I can't begin to express just the value that Sam and Ann have made in our lives. We have a wonderful time to do masterminds together. They've come all the way to Atlanta and actually allowed us to do some teaching and training with them back in 2018. Wow, that was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
But you can see they've got a depth of experience, even in terms of, you know, just a careful analysis before jumping in and doing their initial virtual investing deals. But they make it happen and they continue to do so. And you see also is extended into their family. Please be so kind. If you haven't subscribed to the channel, go ahead and do so. Hit that notification button, strike that like, but more than anything, provide questions, feedback. We get better. We're able to serve you as well as those in the Investor Comps community by the questions that you ask. That makes us, and we all get to learn and gain from that experience. Tim and Ann, thank you so very much for saying yes and being here today. I really, really appreciate both of you.
It was an honor. Thank you so much.
Thanks, MJ. Anytime.
There you go. Everybody, take good care. We'll see you on the next episode of Investor Comps, Invest Anywhere from Anywhere. God bless. Take good care.